My name is Jordan. I work with Faiz and Titus next door. I call that, we're the church, right? We don't go to church. I always call it the church over at the church. It's not the church. We're the church. But yeah, my name is Jordan. I got saved when I'll give you a little backstory about me. Who's heard me speak before? Who's met me before? Okay. I don't know most of you guys. I really want to, though. Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, right? A little bit about my story. I got saved when I was 8. And I'm just going to come right at it, guys. I was molested before the age of 6. Horrible shame. And I know that it wasn't something I did, but it was something that happened to me. But have any of you guys experienced something that's happened to you? And even though it's happened to you and you didn't do it, the enemy just beats you down and makes you feel awful. You know what I mean? Shame. I didn't want to tell anybody about it. For the longest time, I didn't. And then Titus asked for me to give my testimony to, like, the whole church. And I was like, all right, Lord, what do you want me to share? And I just felt like God was like, you need to confess it. You'd been molested. And I was like, well, that's really cool for everybody to know. Like, hey, my name is Jordan. I was molested. You know, kind of awkward. But here's the good news. And here's what I want us to see tonight is, and here I am already getting past my testimony. My testimony is that Jesus saved me. I was messed up. I still am growing. We're all kind of still messed up. But we're in a journey, right? We're in a journey toward Jesus, toward Christ-likeness. And got saved when I was 8. I was at my grandma's house, and nobody shared the gospel with me that day, but I just was overwhelmed by the sense that if I were to die in that day, I was going to go to hell. Like, I knew it, without a doubt. And I'm only 8. I didn't. But it doesn't matter. Like, the moment we're born, the Bible says that by nature we're children of wrath. And you guys can help me out tonight. Like, if I know the junior high school kids are awake, like, less school because they want to actually interact. But if you guys want to interact, that's awesome. Anyways, nobody shared the gospel with me that day, but I grew up in a Christian household, and my parents had shared the gospel with me. And I remember watching this Harrison Ford movie with my dad and my mom, and there was a sex scene on the movie. And my dad's like, get out of the room. I'm like, oh. You know, just running away, like, this is awkward. And then seeing Titanic in theaters, and if you know anything about it, sorry. But it was awkward. I'm like, I'm starting to feel this shame because of the things that have happened to me, and I'm seeing sex bad. Sex equals bad. Sex equals bad. And therefore, I'm bad. And things started progressing. And so I knew sin had been committed against me, but I also knew that I had sinned against the Lord. And so when I was 8, I was at my grandma's, overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, just knew. It was like, here's hell. And I'm like, holding on for dear life. And the Lord saved me that day. And I actually lied, like, on the video. Like, I remember when I told, I'm confessing it. But on the video, I said that day all that shame left me. That wasn't true. Like, I actually, when I was thinking about it later, I'm like, actually, no, I struggled with that shame of that molestation for years. But here's the thing, guys, is Jesus insecure? Do you think, is he full of love? We just sing about how his father is a good, good father, right? And we're loved by him. The amazing truth is that you think about that girl at the woman of the well. Jesus, like, wants some water. He's thirsty. I think he's been fasting. And, like, all his disciples go to get Burger King, and he's kind of like, nah, I'll hang out here. And then this woman comes up, and she's living in sin, right? And she's nasty. She's had, like, 5 husbands, and she's living with this new guy. Just nasty. Skanky. And we would look at that girl and say, wow, what a skank. You know what I mean? But what did Jesus do to her? I'm, like, squeaking a little bit. Jesus just came right up to her. He's like, hey, how you doing? Well, he probably didn't smack her leg. That would have been awkward. But he approached her, right? He approached her, and he starts asking her about a lot. And he's like, yeah, I want to give you some living water. And she's like, well, where are you going to get that living water from? She's like, I kind of want that. And he says, well, you're about to get in a well, right? She's getting water from the well. And he's like, well, I have water that you don't know about. It's water that when you drink it, it's like magical. Like, you'll never be thirsty again. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And this lady's like, I want some of that water. You know, it's like, this is Aquafina, but what do you have? You know, I want it. And he's like, well, go get your husband and come back and I'll tell you about it. And she's like, oh, I'm not married. He's like, I know. He's like, I think it was four or five husbands she's had. And she's like, you know, and you're sleeping with a guy that you're with right now and you're not even married to him. She's like, this is really awkward. Who are you again? You know, what's your name? I'm Jesus, you know, and now he's starting, but he loves her. He doesn't not deal with her shame. He doesn't not deal with her sin, her crap. But he steps in the mess of it, and he pulls her up out of it, right? And she goes back home and is like, hey, man, you guys need to know this Jesus guy. He's like, he knows everything about me. And she just had an encounter with Jesus. And when we have an encounter with Jesus, all it takes is one encounter. Who's experienced like an encounter with Jesus where it's like things changed on that day? Anybody testify to that? A couple of us. That's awesome. But here's the thing is God has sent Jesus Christ into the world not to condemn the world, but to what? But to save the world, right? And so my journey's been a progress. God's been kind of stepping into my mess and growing me up out of it. And that shame, it's been a progress. But like I'm saying, Jesus is not insecure. Jesus is loving. He's full of love toward every single one of you. And when he steps into your sin and into your mess, he's not doing it just to beat you down. And I mean, I'm sorry for putting you on the spot, but you're right here. He actually wants to be beat down for you. So if you guys have your Bible, let's go to Psalms 32. And I just want to show how this chapter has blown me away. Like so many times when I've struggled, when I've sinned, like God has just led me to Psalms 32 and I've just wept. You ever had that verse where it's just you read it and it's like the Holy Spirit's like laser vision right on you. And so Psalms 32 has been that for me. And here's the reason I'm bringing this to you guys is Rob's been going through love God, right? And then what was last week? Was it last week love God? Do you guys remember? Happy's like, yes, I'll answer that for everybody. Love God was last week. And then next week, Matt's going to be talking about going into the world. And I think this is actually really funny that I'm talking about shame and hiding and sin tonight. Because what I found is if I'm not walking in freedom, I can't really be God's vessel for somebody else's freedom. Does that make sense? When I'm living in slavery, when I'm living like, bleh, like how am I going to go into somebody else's, bleh? It's just going to be a sob fest. You know what I mean? They're going to be like, I'm oppressed. I'm sad. I'm depressed. I want to kill myself. I'm like, me too. Let's cry together. You know, but I'm not offering her any hope. I can give her the facts about the gospel. Jesus died for my sins, right? According to the scriptures, right? He was buried according to the scriptures. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. I can give people gospel facts, but God wants to do more than just use your mouth, right? Because anybody, a parrot can recite facts about Jesus. I mean, a parrot can tell the gospel, but Jesus hasn't assigned parrots to share the gospel. He's assigned us, and he wants to assign us to share the gospel out of boldness and out of freedom, which only comes from us living clean before the Lord and him dealing with our shame. Does that make sense? So, you know, normally when you talk to high schoolers, you try to have fun, exciting stories and stuff. I might not. I'm sorry. But I've been in your shoes. I've been right where you were. I was a leader at Mezzanine. Anybody heard of Mezzanine? It was like a young adult group. It's awesome. And they wanted me to come up and share about my freedom against over pornography because I'd struggled hardcore with pornography. No pun intended, hardcore pornography. man, God is so good. You guys feel him right now? This is awesome. So here I am, like, the pastor, the young adult pastor says, hey, can you come up? I'd written a really pretty cute, like, not pretty cute. I wrote a really cute poem about how I was overcoming porn. And what's really cute about it is the day I was supposed to get up there and read it, I looked at porn. Like, imagine that. Like, imagine Manny, like, Titus is like, oh, cool, Manny has overcome porn. Let's get him up here on Sundays and share the gospel and talk about his freedom against porn, right? And then that day, man, he looked at porn. And now he's coming up on stage like, praise Jesus, I'm an overcomer. And like inside, you know what Manny's feeling? Just, I'm such a joke right now, right? Like, I'm so fake. And that's exactly how I felt. I'm sitting here on stage trying to teach these people who are living in oppression and sin how to walk free when I'm not free. Does that make sense? And so I want us to love God with our heart and go into the world, but he leaves. What is 2 Corinthians chapter 1 say? It says, God has given us comfort, right? He's comforted you so that what? You might comfort others with the comfort you've received. He doesn't send people that haven't received freedom into the battlefield to bring other people out of freedom. Okay? Do you get the point? Does that make sense to you guys? So here's what I realize. I realize that there's probably three types of people. There's one type of person here tonight, you don't even know that you're saved. You don't know that you're forgiven. You hope so, but if you were to die today, if Jesus Christ were to come right now, and he might, he's coming again very soon, you're not sure that you would be saved. You're kind of like, ooh, I hope so. I'm going to church. Is that good enough? Oh, I sing about being a good father. And right? It's like you're uncomfortable. And the second group is you've been raised, you're kind of like me. You've been raised in the church. You've trusted in Jesus Christ. You can tell everybody your gospel story, but you know you're hiding in sin. And you know you're just being fake and playing games. And I'm not here to point a finger. I'm saying I know because I've been there. Does that make sense to you guys? I've been there. The third group is some of you guys, you know your sin is bad, and you're like bringing it to God every day. Like, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. But you're just not at peace about it. And today, our story, it's actually an awesome story. Psalms 32 is a story about David when he really messed up. Really messed up. We don't know what it was. It could have been the Bathsheba story. Remember the story about David and Bathsheba? How he slept with her, got her pregnant, and then killed her husband. It's like, and yet we think that guy's amazing. Like, ironic. So Psalms 32, if you can, who has a, you guys have Bibles, right? You guys there? Psalms 32? Okay, cool. All right, anybody want to read the first two verses? Awesome. Here he's saying blessed. Does anybody know what blessed means? It's kind of like pointless if we don't understand what the first word means. I didn't know it for a long time. It's just like a Christianese word. I'm blessed, brother. But you don't know what it means. Blessed literally means how happy, or like I'm full of joy. And so David is saying, man, the dude whose transgression is forgiven, why am I always squeaking? The guy whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered, he's happy. The girl whose transgression is forgiven and sin's covered is happy. And that's cool because your name's happy. And so she's blessed. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. I know that's a mouthful, and we'll get to what that means later. But just notice this last thing he says. And in whose spirit, if you could put that verse up, that'd be awesome. Verse 2. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. And look, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. David is writing this as a sinner who's been forgiven. So what it doesn't mean is that I'm perfect and I'm flawless and I have no deception ever in me. What it means is when it comes to my relationship with God, I'm being real about it. I'm not being fake. I'm not playing games. Does that make sense? So when he says, whose spirit there's no deceit, I'm real before the Lord. So basically in verse 1 and 2, David is making this the main point, which is that there's nothing like being clean before God. There's nothing better. There's no joy that you guys will ever experience that's better than just knowing that you're right and you've been made right with God and knowing that, hey, I've gotten this in the light. And then look what he says next in verse 3. He's saying, I know this because when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. So right here, look, when I kept silent, notice, when I kept silent, he'd sinned and now he's being silent. Have you guys noticed that the first thing that normally happens when we sin, and we know it, is we get quiet towards God? It's like, we still go to church, we'll still sing the songs, but when it comes to like, oh Lord, Daddy God, I love you, like I know the girls, like my wife, she calls him Daddy God, or whatever your name is for the Lord, writing in your journal or talking to the Lord, you can laugh, that's all right. That's cheesy, I know. All of a sudden, that's just gone. Like, your fellowship is stopped to a halt. And here's something that I've learned in my walk with God. You guys are laughing about something, so it's okay. When we turn from the Lord, let me say it this way: when I turn to sin, and I'm looking at you, but I mean to sin, I'm turning away from Jesus. So one thing we need to understand in our walk with God, sin is not just an action; it's actually a breaking away from relationship. But that doesn't mean that if you are a believer, you're cut off from God. And so I'll explain it this way. There's a difference between, think about this, there's a difference between redemptive nearness and relational nearness. And if you need to write that down, this really will change your walk with Christ. And it has for me. There's a difference between redemptive nearness and relational nearness. Can somebody say redemptive nearness? Redemptive nearness. Awesome. Thanks, man. And relational nearness. Now, redemptive nearness, if you can put up Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, I think it is. Yeah. Anybody want to read that verse?
But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Okay. So, our nearness to the Father is based off what, according to this verse? This is a Bible study. Our nearness to the Father is based off what? According to this verse. Christ Jesus, the blood of Christ. And so I really embarrassed this kid named Brent. He's like a junior high kid. And I don't want to embarrass you guys. And but I don't have to. So imagine, is anybody confident enough to be an illustration for my message? Okay, awesome. Okay, could you go ahead and sit over here for me? Cool. What's your name again?
Joshua
Jordan. Did you know Joshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus? That's total rabbit trail. Cool. Okay, Joshua. So here's what happens. Can everybody see what's going on? Okay. So Joshua, by birth, he's separated from the father, because by nature we're children of wrath, right? Learning lessons here. Sin separates us from God, because what is God? He's holy, right? He can't... Purity... He's pure. He's more beautiful than anything we've ever seen. There's nothing like him. Angels, think about this. There's these angels in heaven, and they're called seraphim. And if you guys know the band For Today, it's like a metal band that's really awesome, that loves Jesus. You should listen to them. I have one fan back there. Yes. You like For Today? They're good. They'll like set you on fire for Jesus. It's awesome. So, Holy Spirit, help me stay focused right now. I'm horrible when it comes to ADD stuff. So, all right, train of thought. Yes, seraphim, thank you. So these angels in heaven, right, it says that they have eyes within and eyes without. Imagine that your whole body is covered in eyeballs. And I've said this before, but it just blows my mind. And For Today talks about that. That's why I brought that up. They just look at the Lord. They look at Jesus 24/7. They can't take their eyes off of him. Because and Calvinists call it irresistible grace. Not that I am one, but there's a thing called irresistible grace. And what irresistible grace means is that if the Holy Spirit gave you the spirit of wisdom and understanding to really see Jesus, you would just be like... it's like a moth to a flame. Like, what does a moth do when it sees that big light bulb? It's just like, remember The Bug's Life? It's beautiful. Just, ooh. So, you're zapped. And that's what happens when you encounter Christ. You're never the same. And so, sin separates us from a beautiful, holy God named Jesus, right? But according to the verse, we're brought near to the Father. So I'm going to take you out of this chair, and I'm going to bring you over here into the throne room of God. So that he's actually coming near the Father right now. And so Joshua is perfect and righteous and holy because of the blood of Jesus. Nearness, right? So redemptive nearness, relational nearness. Redemptive nearness, you're as near to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as you ever will be if you're believing in Jesus Christ. All right? But, okay, now we established that. Can any sin separate him from the Father if he's trusting in Christ? No. Because staying near, being brought near to the Father is based off what? It's based off the blood of Jesus Christ. So, redemptively, Joshua is as close to God as he'll ever be. But, relationally, that doesn't mean that his heart won't stray. And I guess a better illustration would be, like, imagine I take his heart out, and he's here, but his heart is over here. And his mind, his will, and emotions are over here. So, it's like this. Like, I'm married to Tara Hall, right? No ringy, no dingy. We're married, right? We're married. It doesn't matter if I put this on or off. We're married, right? We're one. But all of us know marriages where they're one, they're in covenant together, they're near, but they're not near. You know what I mean? They're not near. They hate each other, right? Or they kind of like each other, but she likes Downton Abbey, and he kind of would rather watch the Packers, you know, and he'd rather, you know, go surfing, and she'd rather stay home knitting. It's just, there's no connection. She talks about things, and he's like, this is so boring. Like, you're so boring. What happened to our marriage? And so there's just a relational distance. There's a relational separation that happens. And what happens as Christians when we sin is that, as he says, when I kept silent, like, your relationship, your prayer life, your communion with the Father is just done, relationally far away. And look what happens when he stops communion with God. You guys getting anything out of this? This isn't over your heads, is it? It's, come on, I'm coming down to your level. But you guys are smart. You guys are so smart. Rob's trained you well. You are good Padawans. Okay, so when I kept silent, what's the first thing that happened to him? 8:06, cool. Are we good on time? Oh, you can go sit down, bro. I'm so sorry. Are we good on time? Yes. Yes, cool. Praise the Lord. Are you already getting anything out of this? Yeah. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. So bones wasting away. What does that kind of bring to mind? Like, what do you think that means? Just being worn out, like your strength's kind of like bleh. How many of you notice, like, when we start to walk into the path of sin, whether it's pornography or depression, just name it, whatever we've dealt with. When you start walking down that road and you know it's wrong, you notice how you can't get enough sleep. Like, you're just always tired. And spiritually, you're just, blah. You know what I mean? And then that's what he's saying. Like, I'm spiritually blah right now. And then the next thing is through my groaning all day long. So now he's groaning. Like, I think that it speaks of like a depression. Like, when we go away from the one thing that we're made for, which is Jesus, and we start pursuing something other than him, we're going to be depressed. That's a fact. Like, it shouldn't be any surprise to us that people outside of the church are dealing with depression. It shouldn't be any surprise because they're made for God. They're made to know him. We're not made just to have facts about Jesus. We're made to know Jesus. And so when we stray away from him, of course we're going to be depressed. And next thing David says, in addition to my bones wasting away and me dealing with this groaning, day and night, I'm not doing your note. Day and night, I think it's the Lonely Stoner or something. That's awful. The Lonely Stoner. That's pretty lame. Being a stoner is one lame thing, but being a lonely stoner, that's really lame. It's hilarious. Don't tell your moms I said that. So you're smoking pot, right? You're smoking pot, playing bongos, butt naked in the woods. And you know you shouldn't be there, and you're kind of wondering why you're there. And your bones are wasting away. You're groaning all day long. You're depressed. And it says the hand of the Lord is heavy upon you. You're in the woods playing bongos, and you're like, I feel convicted right now. I feel like the Holy Spirit is like, get out of the woods. Like, what are you doing smoking weed in the woods, butt naked? That's what, have you guys ever just, you're about to do something you know is wrong. Or you go to a party, and you know, oh, this is going bad. There's jello shots. Oh, gosh, Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is like, go. And you're just, you know, I mean, I remember when I went to a strip club. I'm just being straight up. Because here's the thing. You know what's awesome? When Jesus encounters your life, you know, you don't have to be the hero of your story anymore. All of us are trying to tell our story and make ourselves look awesome. But the reality is we're all broken apart from Jesus. And then he comes into our life, and all of a sudden now I can tell my story where Jesus is the hero, not me. He's the hero. I went to the strip club, and it was like 3 p.m. There was like no strippers there. I felt horrible. I'm like, for real, like, this is awful. Everything within me was just crawling. Because when the Holy Spirit invades your life, you'll never be a successful sinner ever again. You can try to sin, but it's kind of like juggling fire. Like, ugh! You know, it's hot. It's going to burn you. So I'm in there, and this guy's like, what do you want? And I was like, oh. And I was like, I just need to use the bathroom, you know. He's like, it's right there. What the heck? You know, so. And all the while, this conviction, the hand of the Lord was heavy upon me. God, you know why he convicts you? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You've been somewhere, you've done something, you've said something, you've not done something. The Holy Spirit told you to go pray for that person or share the gospel, and you're not doing it. And the Holy Spirit's like, what are you doing? Just what are you doing? That's what David is experiencing. The hand of the Lord is heavy upon him. And then finally it says, and my strength was dried up as the heat of summer. So Job chapter 20, think about it. When you're near to Jesus, are you dry? No, we're refreshed. We're alive. Remember Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2? He said, repent that times of refreshing may come from the presence of God. So when we come before the Lord and we're worshiping Jesus and we're just pursuing him, we're refreshed by the Holy Spirit. But when we are not pursuing Christ, look at what Job chapter 20 says. Matt, you're awesome. Though evil, think about this. This is a story about a guy who's hiding sin. He's hiding it. Nobody else knows. Like he's totally fooling everybody except God. It says, though evil is sweet in his mouth, and though he hides it under his tongue, though he is loath, meaning like he doesn't want to let it go, and holds on to it in his mouth. It's like having you have a Werther's in your mouth and you're hiding it under your tongue. And it's just like, ooh, this is good, sweet sin, yummy. And it says, yet his food turns in his stomach. Like he's starting to get sick. He's about ready to throw up. It is the venom of cobras within him. So now like these sweet things are turning into bitter. And who's experienced that with sin? It just goes bitter. It's good for a little bit, but it gets bitter. And look, he swallows down riches and vomits them up again. He can't keep anything good in his life. And it says, he will suck the poison of cobras, the tongue of a viper will kill him, because what? Sin leads to death, right? And look at this. He will not look upon the rivers, the streams flowing with honey and curds. Curds, funny word. Rivers, but in King James, New King James, it says, he will not see the streams, the rivers, and the brooks. When Jesus came to the woman at the well, he said, what did he say? He said, I got water to give you. And it's different than any kind of water you'll ever have. It's going to be like springs of living water flowing out of you. And when we trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit takes residence inside of us. He's a person. He comes and lives in the inside of you. And as we are just sincere before the Lord, and as we confess our sin, as we follow Christ, the Bible says that we're full of the Holy Spirit, and we're flowing, and we're refreshed. But if we hide our sin, we get dry. The Holy Spirit's not refreshing us. And God's, what is he doing? He's wooing us. He's wooing us back home. And so David says this. He says, I acknowledged in verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I didn't cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. So he's like, I'm done with this. I'm throwing my sin down. God, take it away. This is what I've done. I confess my transgressions to you, Lord. And he said, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. What's awesome is in verse 1, it talks about forgiven. Transgressions being forgiven. In this verse, you see transgressions are forgiven, sins covered, and in verse 2, the Lord counts no iniquity against him. If you want to take notes of this, transgression being forgiven speaks of the weight of sin. Sin being covered speaks of the shame of sin. And then number 3, the Lord not counting iniquity against you speaks of the wrath of sin, the judgment of sin. So when we're sin by nature, imagine, there, I'm just a sinner by nature, right? We're all sinners by nature. There's like a weight on me called sin, called conviction, called ickiness, right? And not only that, but I feel naked. Remember Adam and Eve? What's the first thing they did when they sinned? They hid themselves because they were ashamed. And then third of all, there's shame. And then there's a target on us called God's judgment. And what happens, and I just want you to get this, because David knew that he was forgiven. Do you know what our forgiveness is based off of? Is it based off anything we've done? You guys, we'll wrap this up. It's not based on anything we've done. The Bible says that Jesus took our sins, right? He became sin, who knew no sin. So imagine, you got this weight of sin. Jesus says, hey, I'll take that and I'll put that on myself on the cross. And then Jesus says, I see that you're ashamed. Let me take your shame. I'll be stripped naked on a cross and let people spit on me. And people just humiliate me. The humiliation I should feel, that you should feel, he took on himself. And then finally, the judgment, the wrath that I deserve for my sin, Jesus says, hey, Father, send me to the earth. I'll become a man. I'll live a perfect life. And then, Father, pour your wrath out on me. I'll take their wrath for their sins. And in that moment, Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. And so forgiveness is free. It's found only in Jesus Christ because he was the only sinless man. So and so here's the thing, and we'll wrap this up. There's nothing better than being real with God about our sin, than being made right with God. It's miserable to hide. It's miserable to be feeling like I'm beating myself up because Christ was beat up for us. But some of you guys, you're not just dealing with conviction. You've confessed your sin and you still feel horrible. You still feel horrible. You still feel like I can't ever forgive myself. God, how could you ever forgive me? And I'll tell you that the enemy has come to what? To accuse you, to beat you down and lie to you. And so tonight what I want to see and what Jesus wants to do is bring freedom to us. Bring freedom, that the same shame that woman had at that well, that was lifted right up off of her. The same shame that I've had in my past for my sins is gone because of Christ. That he would do a work in us tonight. Who wants to be completely free of sin? Who is completely done with living in shame? Who right now, let's close our eyes. Who right now is, you know that you're hiding things from, you're trying to hide things from God. You're living in sin and you know there's things you're trying to balance sin. And then who in here, you've trusted in Jesus Christ, but you're just beating yourself up. Is that anybody in here? Raise your hand. You're beating yourself up. You feel shame. And you're trying so hard to trust in the blood of Christ, but there's just these feelings of shame and worthlessness. And so right now, I want everybody just to lift their hands right now. Everybody, lift your hands up to the Lord right now. And repeat after me. Say, Jesus. Let's say it out loud. Say, Jesus, I give you my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I thank you that even in my mess, I thank you that even in my mess, you came near to me. That while I was yet a sinner, you willingly died for me. Forgive me of my sins. I confess it, Lord. And I ask that by the blood of Jesus Christ, that Father, you give me peace and give me grace, not only to walk in freedom for myself, but to be your vessel of freedom for somebody else. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. And so here's the truth. David closes Psalms 32 saying, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. Like, think about that. I am righteous. You are righteous if you're trusting in Jesus Christ. Shout for joy, all you upright at heart. Now, let's be honest. How many of us, like when we've sinned, we don't feel anything but like, ugh. Like even when we confess it, we feel sad. We feel like this is wrong. We don't come to God based on our feelings. I spent too many years of my life. I was a Christian, but when I sinned, I wouldn't even turn worship music on. Because I had to make sure that I felt better. But forgiveness has nothing to do about how you feel. It has everything to do about the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you guys confess your sins and you ask Jesus to forgive you, guess what? You're forgiven. that moment. It doesn't, you might have those feelings for a while, but David says, let's praise Jesus, because if we're celebrating because of how we feel, then our joy is not rooted in Christ. It's rooted in our circumstances. It's rooted in our circumstances. And so what I've had to do this so many times, guys, and I hope I'm not going past the time, but is anybody getting anything out of this? Praise the Lord. In those moments, what I have to do is say, Father, I've done this, I've said this, I give this to you, but I'm going to get my eyes off of my sin and get my eyes onto my Savior. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. And so right now, I just want us to stand up, and we're going to fix our eyes on Christ, and we're going to worship Him. All right?